It's good to be here today. Like Lee said, we're closing a series up on connection. And really what that has turned into, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, or if you haven't, is we've talked about things that get in the way of connection. So the first week, Joey unpacked doubt. So a lot of times doubt can impact our connections. Last week, he unpacked bitterness, and that was, I even told him on Monday, I was like, dude, on your second point, you had about another 30 seconds before I said, hey, you need to speed that up, because he was talking right to me, and I did not appreciate it. I'm going to start sitting in the back. Today, we're going to talk about battles. The battle of connection. And it's something that's been happening here for a while. And we're all about connection. We're all about serving. And there's awesome, amazing things happening in this church. God is moving. God has poured out his spirit. We're baptizing people. People are joining. It's amazing. Small groups are getting closer. Sunday schools are getting closer together. And when you take steps towards God, the enemy doesn't like it. And he gets angry and he attacks. And so here's the filter for today. I don't know if you walked in under some sort of spiritual attack. I don't know if you walked in with some sort of decisions that you've made. There's all sorts of things that constitutes a struggle. And that's really the context of my sermon today, is that with connection, with church, within the Christian life, there are battles. And sometimes we recognize them and sometimes we don't. But whether we recognize them or whether we don't, doesn't change the fact that there's still a battle. Every single solitary day, there is a battle, and there's a game plan. And so what I want to look at, I've got one kind of short, simple theme verse in James. And then I want to look at the life of Job. And I want to unpack these battles. And I'm just going to be on it. The personal goal for me today is just to not cry all over this pulpit. Okay? You could have laughed at that a little more. Y'all gonna have to help me today. I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you. It's never my goal to just get up here and cry, but I'll be honest. This sermon, the essence of this sermon has been done since New Year's. It's been done. And I've never had that happen. It's been done, finished. I sent, like, the first Sunday of the new year, I sent it to Lee at like 11:30, 12 o'clock that night, and it's been done. It's been on my computer. It's been on my phone. It's just been done. And then I didn't preach the first Sunday of the new year. And then God said, now watch me personalize this message. Now watch me personalize this message. And I've been asking questions, and I've been in a battle, and I've been in a struggle. And maybe, just maybe, my last 3 or 4 weeks was so that this sermon could help just one person. Just one person. So here's my verse. In James chapter 1, just a couple of verses, 2-4, and it says this: count it all joy, my brothers. And when it says my brothers, that means anybody who has given their life to Jesus. That's what that means. Anybody who's saved, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And then let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much. Father, we just thank you for your presence that we have felt already. Father, that you are here, that you are willing and able, Father, to do a work. And so, Father, we give you this time. We give you these words. Remove me. Open our hearts, open our minds, that you might do a work, that you would give us the ability to recognize what you're saying to us through your word. And then allow us to take steps towards a heavenly Father that above everything else, above our circumstances, above our struggles, above our attacks, loves us with a love that we cannot comprehend. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So just real quick on these couple of verses in James, that word steadfastness. So count it all joy for your struggle. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Thank you for my struggle. That's not our default position towards our struggles. That's not our default. Our default is why? Why does this hurt? Why do I have these thoughts? Why does this happen? Why does this happen? Why did they do this? That is our default. But the word through James says, count it all joy. If you're in Jesus Christ, count it all joy when you meet trials, because you will meet trials. The word steadfastness, that word means endurance. So let me comfort you. The trial that you're currently in, the trial that you just came out of, or the trial you're about to walk into, is just to get you ready for another trial. Count it all joy that when you face those trials, you may stand and endure. And then that just brought me to Job. And if you know Job, in the Old Testament, it's appropriate, like the most appropriately named dude in the Bible. His name is J-O-B. How appropriate is that name? And here's the deal. Job had a lot of things going for him. And then Job hits a trial. Job hits several trials. Job loses everything he has. Then he gets sick. And then he's got three knucklehead friends that come and speak words of ignorance over his situation. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And Job, through it all, he endured. And he made it to the other side. And so I have 3 points talking about battle. And here's the deal with spiritual warfare. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. C.S. Lewis said it like this. The problem with Christians and spiritual warfare is this. It's either too much devil or not enough. You know, the devil did it. The devil did it. The devil made me say that. The devil's hiding behind that bush. My wife, the devil got a hold of my wife. She ain't cleaned the house in 3 weeks. Get a broom, bro. Maybe if you would help out a little bit. I'm preaching to myself right there. That was personal. Love you, boo. Talk about that a little bit. And look, I got to throw this in or I won't make it. I got to laugh just a little bit or I won't make it. Or the Christian is, it just is what it is. What does that even mean? And I'm guilty. I say that all the time. It is what it is. What does that mean? There are some times in our lives where the devil purposely attacks a child of God because they are taking steps towards him. And he affects, look, and here's the deal. I didn't say he takes over, because I don't believe that. I believed if you're saved and you're called by Jesus Christ and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm not talking about demonic possession, because that can't happen. God's got you. But he can mess with you. The Bible talks about the flaming darts. So he can throw darts your way. He can throw darts your way, and he can try to knock you off course. And he can make you doubt some things about what you believe, because ultimately that's what trials are. Are you gonna decide that what you believe is what you believe? And what you believe is true. And though it may not feel like it in the middle of your circumstances, God still loves me. God still cares for me. He didn't leave me. He didn't forsake me. And though I don't understand it, he has a plan and he has a purpose for this struggle. Amen. That's right. So we have to make some decisions. We have to have some understanding. The devil made me knock that over. Did y'all see that? So number one point I have for you, and we're going to look at Job, and I've got some other scripture. Number one, the reality of the battle. The reality, it's real. Spiritual warfare is real. And here's the deal. Here's what I believe. Sometimes spiritual warfare can come from our decisions to act outside of the design that God has for us. So sometimes the spiritual warfare begins and ends with me, because it's decisions that I've made. You'll see by the life of Job that it wasn't necessarily the decisions that he made. It was just an attack. So the realities of the battle. It says that Job was a righteous man, above reproach. In other words, in Old Testament terms, he did everything that he was supposed to do to account for sin. Everything he was supposed to do. Job followed the letter of the law perfectly for himself and for his 10 kids. Bless his heart. He said that every day he would atone for his sins, then he would atone for the sins of his children just in case that they blasphemed God in his heart. And it said that no person in the land of Uz or anywhere around him had more things. God had greatly blessed Job. Then one day, God has a conversation with Satan. Don't take my word for it. You can go home and read it. It's in Job chapter 1. And God says, "You see my boy Job? Dude's holding it down. He's doing good." And Satan goes, "He's just doing good because you protect him. If you remove your hand, he'll curse you." God said, "Do what you want with Job. He won't curse me. You just can't kill him." So the reality is, sometimes there is an attack of Satan. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what we've let in. I had a conversation with a youth pastor buddy, and I was in a struggle, and I had emotions, and I had things, and I said, "I don't know where it came from. I don't know. I feel like spiritually I'm in a better place than I've ever had before. My family is good. My wife with my relationship..." What did I just say? The relationship with my wife is good. Like, everything's good. I got two beautiful kids. I'm healthy. There are people in our church struggling with much horrible, awful things. I'm good. And he said, "Well, what seed did you water?" So sometimes there are things that come in and we water and we don't know where it comes from. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you want to know what Satan's plan for your life is, it is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take your family. He wants to take your marriage. He wants to take your kids. And he also wants to remove the joy that you have in your trials. Count it all joy when you meet trials. Satan wants to take your joy. He wants to make you miserable. He wants to put thoughts in your head that don't belong there. That's what he wants to do. And it's no coincidence that our church... By the way, obviously not this part, but John 10:10 is our church verse. "But I have come to give you life and give you life to the full." So here's the deal. Our church, we claim the last part of that verse. And here's what Satan wants for us in Solitude Baptist Church. He wants to take that life away. And maybe we should have communicated that sooner. Like, "Hey, get ready. We're claiming John 10:10 as our church verse. Satan wants to take that from you. And you need to get ready and you need to be on guard." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Couple of things there. This verse, personally, God spoke into me. Satan walking around like a roaring lion. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Sometimes he's roaring in things that don't look half bad, because it says that he wants to clothe himself in light. And Satan wants to look like the things of God as to lead you astray. seeking someone to devour. Satan goes after those who are alone. If the first check for you, if you're in a struggle, is are you alone? And if the answer is yes, you're exactly where Satan wants you to be. If you do not have a group of like-minded individual people, Christians, godly people that can speak into your situation, you're in a bad spot. You're in a bad spot. Ephesians 6, 11 through 13 says this. We're just talking about the realities of the battle. 11 in Ephesians chapter 6 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. Our call in the reality of our battle is to stand. The demonic forces, the cosmic powers, the rulers, the authority. What we're battling here is not flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. It's something going on that's greater than you and it's greater than me. But it's not greater than the one that lives in me, as we're going to get to in just a minute. And we have to be aware, we cannot neglect this fact that we are in a battle every day. And you cannot, to quote my small group curriculum, you cannot win a battle that you refuse to engage in and that you refuse to acknowledge is actually really there. Point number two, the emotions of the battle. If y'all haven't noticed, I'm somewhat emotional. Amy, you laughed too hard at that. Here's the deal. I have a cute little sermon tucked away in my files that I did before I technically started here. And it's called, what did I call it? I called it Decisions Lead, Emotions Follow. Okay? And I've said things like, don't make an emotional decision. And I think that's true. I think that's biblical. But we can't neglect the fact that we are made in the image of God. God made us the way that we are. And as people made in the image of God, we have emotions. God put emotions in us so that we could have empathy and so that we could care and so that we could love. And when you hurt, I hurt. God put that there. But where do we direct those emotions? Where do we channel those emotions? And so look, let me comfort you real fast. Because the last month or so, I've had some emotions I never thought I would have. And Satan began to tell me, you shouldn't feel that way. Think about, he started making me play games with my struggle and looking at other people's struggle. A struggle is a struggle, my friends. It's a struggle. And so look at Job. If you read Job, Job loses every possession that he has. Okay? The Sabaeans, the Chaldeans, all these people, come on. His livestock, his servants, all that is gone, like taken away. And by the way, it's all taken away really, really quick. The Bible says that, and yet while that servant was talking, another messenger rolled up and went, bro, you just lost all your field, all your donkeys, all your cow. Then the last messenger, while the other one was still talking, the other messenger rolls up and says, Job, your 10 kids and their entire family, they were eating together. They were eating together. And a great wind came up and demolished the house. And I'm sorry, Job, but your whole family's gone. He loses literally everything that he has in an instant, out of nowhere. Here's a man following the letter of God's law to a T. And it's all gone like that. So you can imagine if my man Job has some emotions. So I want to encourage you today that while your emotions are there, and it's okay that you have them, what matters is what you do with them. Where do you put them? So listen to Job in 3, verse 2. It says, "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said a man is conceived. Let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor let light shine on it." He says again in chapter 7, verse 3, "So I am allotted months of emptiness." Anybody relate with that in the Bible? Months of emptiness and nights of misery are a portion to me. When I lie down, I say, "When shall I arise? The night is long and I'm full of tossing till dawn." Anybody relate to that? You in a struggle can't sleep. And let me tell you, until about 2 weeks ago, all you people that said, "I was just so worried I couldn't sleep," I could not relate. Yeah, that's okay. Help me here. I'll be honest. If you 2 weeks ago when you said, Lee says that sometimes. Lee goes, "Man, it just worried me, and I just was up, and I was just thinking, and I'm just looking at Lee. What? Look, when I try to go, look, I can stay up really late because it takes me about 3.2 minutes to fall asleep. You know what I'm saying? Like I can stay up till 12:30 because I know by 12:35 I'm done, gone. See you in the morning. That means I'm no help with the kids. I'm sorry, but I'm out. I cannot sleep. I can relate now. I know what it's like to lay in bed and say, "Take this. I don't want this. What is this? What are you doing? What are you trying to, where are you pointing me? I don't want it. Let me sleep." Job had those emotions. I have those emotions. And if I guess in a room this size, somebody else can relate. In Job 10, it says, "I loathe my life. I will give free utterance to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, 'Do not condemn me. Let me know why you contend against me.'" Because that's where we get. That's where we go. "He don't love me. He's left me. God, where are you? Why do you seem against me? Because you won't take it. If you love me, why do you let me feel the way that I feel?" You fall into yourself and into yourself and into yourself. It's the only way I can describe it. We fall down, down, down until we seem to be the only thing that we have is us. Even though everything around us is still there and intact. So let me encourage you. Your emotions are there and they're real. Oh, they're so real. Even though I'm telling myself a couple weeks ago, "That's not real. That's not real. That's not how I feel. That's not." They're there. But here's the deal. What do you do with them? What do you do with your emotions? Do you make that decision out of an emotional state? Out of a state of confusion? You don't know why, what, how, when, where, yet you're still going to make a decision in that state? In other words, anger is not a sin. The Bible says that. But here's the deal. When I yell at somebody on 431 out of my anger, then I have sinned. So Lord, forgive me. There's my 431 plug during the spiritual warfare. Like if you look up the roadmap, spiritual warfare, that road runs right through the middle of it. Like, maybe one day I'll preach and like be over that. But right now I'm not over that. We'll deal with that another time. Where do you, here's the question. Here's a question. What are you doing? Where are you pointing those emotions? I'm lonely right now. No, I'm not going to text them. I'm angry right now. No, I'm not going to post that. I'm just really, 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 really sad, down and out. So I'm not going to compulsively spend money I don't have in an effort to make me feel better. Those are just some examples that I have. So just think about that, your emotion. And here's the deal, I'm emotional. We're all emotionals. God made us emotional. We have to point those emotional responses in a direction of Christ, not in a direction of flesh, self, selfish ambition, trying to dig yourself, self out of a hole. So I feel like this is a good time, even though we kind of laughed about 431. Before I get to my last point, I feel like we just need to take a breath, just a minute, or I do. And I've been doing a lot of marriage counseling stuff and for my classes, for my master's, and I heard a funny joke, and I just thought I'd share it with you. A husband and wife found themselves in an argument, and it gets pretty heated. And they're complaining about the dishwasher, or this is not me and Mallory, by the way, or you never help with the kids, or whatever. So they're just, it gets really heated. And so she says, "You don't even love me," because she's filtering. I'm big on love and respect. And she's filtering everything through love. Everything he does is unloving. Well, he's filtering everything through honor and respect. And she says, "You don't even love me." And he says, he doesn't say, "I do love you." This is how he responds. He says, "I would die for you." And she says, "You say that all the time, but you never do." Ladies, don't use that. Gentlemen, don't use that. That's giving you stuff not to use. This sermon has it all. Here's the deal. We have struggles. We got to understand that the battle is real. We have to battle. I feel like the emotions is almost a battle within the battle. So like we're battling the struggle, and then because of how we are as individuals, we have to battle us, and we have to battle how we respond to the battle. I don't mean to be too redundant or confusing. But here's the deal. Like here's the good part. Is Satan, if it is an attack of the enemy, so you need to remember, always remember, my last point, always remember the higher authority. So if you read the book of Job picks up talking in his emotional state, even though the Bible says that he never sinned. Like the Bible says that Job actually complains in a way that's okay. And God lets him talk for a majority of the book. Like, it's just Job. Then Job, like, "I hate my life. I hate it. I don't even know why I was born." Then he's got three knucklehead friends that come up and speak. And by the way, if you have friends like Job, bless your heart. Like, you need to come see me today. And let's get you in a Sunday school or a small group. Get you around some people that know what God's book says and can speak life into your situations. And they're saying all this crazy stuff, and Job is just a wreck. And here's the deal. We would probably look at Job's situation and say, rightfully so. He's lost everything. And sometimes we excuse our grumbling and our belly aching and our whining and our crying because we say, "Hey, this struggle is a really, really big deal. And I've earned a little bit of complaint time before the Lord God Almighty." And I'll even contend with you today that he will allow that to happen for an arbitrary amount of time. I don't know what it is for you personally. My God is big enough to handle my questions and my concerns. He's big enough to handle my emotional self when I'm crying out to him. "I don't understand it. I don't see you in this. Where did you go?" He's big enough to handle that. But at some point, he's going to give you this. Whew, let me just calm down just a minute. Take a deep breath. God doesn't start talking until chapter 38. And God says this. "Who shut the seas with doors when it burst out of the womb? When I made clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it. And I set bars and doors, and I said, thus far shall you go and no further, and here shall your proud waves stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, and it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it?" Job has all these complaints, and God looks at him in all his infinite wisdom, mercy, and love, and says, "Where were you when I hung the earth? Where were you? Surely you know how big the earth is. Surely you know when I set its cornerstone. Tell me, Job, since you seem to know. Who put the stars in the sky? Who put the ocean exactly where it is? And then put limits for it and said, this is where the waves crash. Who did that, Job? Who did that, Job? I did. I'm the one who did it. And I understand you're in a battle, and I understand you're in a struggle, but in our circumstances and in our mess, we forget how big God is. We forget the price that he paid on Calvary. We forget that his blood covers my sin, and it covers your sin, past, present, and future, finished forever. Forgiven forever, and how quickly we forget all of those things the minute we come in a struggle. John 4:4. Little children, you are from God. You are from God and have overcome them. You have already overcome your struggles. You have already overcome your battles. For he who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. Philippians says it this way. It says, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot, in your battle and in your struggle and whatever you walked in here with, forget the higher authority. That through Jesus, by Jesus, everything has been made and will be made, and it's all for him. Colossians says he's reconciling all things unto himself. Your battle, your struggle, though you don't understand it and you don't know why and you don't know how, he's going to use that to make you better. He's going to use that to make you stronger. He's going to make that so that you can stand and you can proclaim him, not to make you great and not to make solitude great, but to make him great. That is the point of our struggle. The struggle's not about us. It just takes us a minute to wallow with our struggle, to come to the realization that the struggle that I'm in is not about me. It's about him. And the higher authority that came, that lived, that bled, that died, it says that he canceled the debt. He took your place. He took what was dead, now makes it alive. And he did all of that through the power of Jesus Christ. So here, we can put it this way. The love that is sufficient for your salvation is sufficient to carry you through your struggle. Because if it will save you, it will sustain you. If we don't forget the higher authority. And here's something that's just been hitting me in the soul repeatedly. It's temporary. I don't know who needs to hear me say that today. I do, one. So me and somebody else. It's temporary. It's temporary. Preacher, I went to the doctor. It's temporary. Preacher, my relationships are falling apart. It's temporary. I have hurts and I have struggles and I feel depressed. It's temporary. The only thing that is permanent is Jesus Christ. He is permanent. He will never fade away. He will never wither. He will never grow faint. He will never fail. Preacher, I lost a loved one. It's temporary. It's temporary. The loved one that went on, or the people in our life that we will lose, we can take care of them better than Jesus can if they're in Christ Jesus. He can love them better. He can provide a place for them that has been perfected, who has no security. There is no spiritual warfare in heaven. Amen. It's been taken care of. It's done. It's finished. And when we pass from one life to the next, see, I didn't mention death. I just said we pass from one life to the next and we've been made whole. Let me just encourage you. Though you may battle something a majority of your life, it's temporary. It is temporary. Because there's a verse in Revelation that says, my dwelling, this is God talking, it says, my dwelling place is with man, and man's dwelling place is with me. And it says that he personally wipes away every tear. Then I believe he sews up the deer. There's no more crying, there's no more pain. So while your struggle may last a while, let me encourage you, it's only temporary. Through the hope, through the sacrifice, through the blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who wants to take your battle and my battle and your struggles and my struggles and this church collectively and say, look at my kids. They make my name great through their struggles. So when you're in this temporary, last thing, when you're in this temper, it is temporary. Don't you, I won't even say it that way. Please do not make a permanent decision in a season and in a struggle that is temporary. Jesus made a, I'll flip it on you. Jesus made a permanent decision in a season that was temporary when he was in the garden and he went to the cross. He understood, this is what I'm experiencing right now. And while I'm on the cross and it hurts, this is temporary, but I'm making the decision to die for my kids for something that's permanent. Amen. Amen. Let us pray.